This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Bristol City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. It is that time, 9 o'clock on a Wednesday, which means it is the Bristol City Takeover. We want you on this show to have your say all about your team. This is the station to do it, Love Sport Radio. Well, what a result it was on the weekend. Beating Barnsley, 2 wins on the bounce now in the league, but it's 3 wins in 4. Maybe Bristol City, they've passed that blip, they've passed that run, kicking that second half of the season off, because it's going to need to be a strong one as we head into the business end of the season. But one man who knows more than me, I'm delighted to get him on. It is my man indeed, Stanley Hughes from One Stream in Bristol. Stanley, you're about, I'm about. This is the Bristol City Fan Show. Can't wait to get into it. But a good win on Barnsley, a clean sheet as well. What were you making of it?
Clean sheet. That's quite an important thing. You mentioned the 3 wins in 4. A lot of Bristol City fans aren't getting too ahead of themselves, Charlie, my mate, because those 3 wins have come against Luton, Wigan and Barnsley. And bar the Luton game, you know, the other two haven't really been that convincing. I mean, it took a long time for us to hit the winner against Barnsley. I think it was the 86th minute. Lee Johnson was very coy with his subs. You've got to remember, we got knocked out on Tuesday night last week against Shrewsbury, missed out on a chance to play Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool. That would have been a distraction. Who wants to play that anyway? Who wants 27,000 packing the gate for a game like that?
Boring. So European champions, no
exactly,
thanks.
Exactly. It's bored. Just the kiddies anyway. Curtis Jones, who is he? No one wants to watch him. So the Barnsley game, I think a lot of people saw as a real need to bounce back after disappointment of midweek. And despite winning, it wasn't a convincing performance. You know, Barnsley hit the woodwork a couple of times. They had chances. So at the moment, a lot of City fans are sort of thinking, it's a win, we'll take it. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, it's interesting. I want to talk about that a little bit, Stanley. Obviously, we will talk. I was going to maybe ignore the Shrewsbury game. Just pretend it never happened. Like you said, no one needs to go over it. We've done the heartbreak to death. We want to focus on the positives. And why aren't we being more positive? Because you're saying, yes, it is 3 wins in 4. And even though it was Luton, Wigan and Barnsley, in this league, the Championship, it's still hard to get those wins. You're getting those wins with clean sheets. And that's what's the most important, is it wins and points are the most thing, and it'll be the same fans that when Bristol City lose go, oh, why can't we win? And then when we do win, they say, yeah, but it's not against the best opposition. And ultimately, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah, it's very true. It's the age-old saying, is that you can only beat what's put in front of you. And if that what's put in front of you happens to be 3, you know, subpar teams, that's all you can beat. The reason why, I'm not sure. I think Bristol City fans are used to Lee Johnson going on these runs, you know, last season where we lost 4 in a row and then we went and won 9 in a row. And we're hoping that maybe these 3 wins, or rather the 2 most recent wins, can sort of kick us on into a bit of a run. We've got 2 games next week against QPR and Reading that we'll talk about, I'm sure. And then a little bit later, we'll play Leeds and West Brom back to back. So I think there's sort of a feeling amongst Bristol City fans that, you know, let's try and get wins first of all, first and foremost now, and then worry about growing and worry about putting in good performance is a little bit down the line, I guess.
Yeah, I guess now Bristol City fans have kind of reached a climax in the sense that we know we can win these games and we know we're always there and thereabouts, but it's the key games and the run of fixtures that you mentioned. They want to finally get over that hill and reach the promised land as such, and instead of rather being those nearly men. And we kind of saw that with a performance on Saturday. I felt, Stanley, if it was fair to say, it was kind of a heartbreak hangover somewhat, because, you know, it was a winner in the 87th minute, and maybe they was just a little bit eager to please, wasn't they? You know, eager to prove a point to the fans and almost make up for it.
Yeah, weirdly, Lee Johnson used this as used some sort of phrase. He likes his, we call them Johnsonisms. You know, he's a sort of a textbook
that.
Set of phrases that he starts to bring out, sort of horses for courses, a game of two arse, and he had a new one that this is a performance to apologise, and you could really see the apologies in this performance. Ooh. You know, even though we scored in the 86th minute, I don't think there was too much euphoria, to be honest. It was more a sense of relief. You know, I'm one You know what I mean? When we score a late goal sometimes, Charlie, I sharpen my elbows and try and take out as many people as I can in my row. But after the winner against Barnsley, I just sort of breathed a big sigh of relief, to be honest. And I think that's the overall feeling. Sort of thank God the hangover from the Shrewsbury game didn't continue. And let's see if we can keep on sort of grinding out results, winning 1-0, 2-0, playing pretty poorly. And then when, you know, say we get any striker in before the end of the transfer window, or then when the team starts to really turn it on, like we know we can and like we know we have done in previous seasons, maybe that's when we'll start to see the sort of, you know, the comfortable wins and the glorious Lee Johnson football return.
Yeah, because there was that sigh of relief, Stanley, from you, and what I'm sensing from most Bristol City fans that I talk to, including yourself, is just that it's because they're so gearing up now for this business end of the season. There's a pressure around the team. There's an expectation. We've spoke on the show about Lee Johnson and the kind of short leash that he's on, and you know the standards that the fans and the club have set themselves, and that's why, isn't it? Because yes, it was a sigh of relief. We got this one, but we're straight on to the next one, and we need to keep this momentum and this run of steam going.
Yes, certainly. I think that's what's happened. Momentum's a good word to use, really, because in previous seasons, that's defined the season of Bristol City, and that's defined Lee Johnson as a manager. You have the runs where you are not playing football, where it seems like the players have given up, like no one knows what's going on, like Lee Johnson's throwing his toys at the pram. He's shaving his beard for good luck to try and get anything to get that win over the line. And then you get a game against Wigan where Wigan had about 70% possession, mind. That's Wigan, by the way. You did hear that right. 70% possession.
But they didn't
and we
win.
And we win 2-0.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. And we win as a Sunderland. And people go, well, it doesn't matter. We won. That's the sort of the curse broken. And then suddenly you beat, you know, finally you had the game against Shrewsbury. Ignore that. It's a cup, like I said, distraction. Don't worry about it, Charlie. It didn't happen. And then you go and beat Barnsley at home. And now suddenly you go away to Reading and QPR, and suddenly you get some good results then. Then it's the other way, and now the momentum's swaying the other way. And once the Lee Johnson team starts to get going, it's very hard to break that run up. And so the important thing is now to sort of carry on with this run. How long can we keep this unbeaten or winning streak going, really?
Yeah, obviously keen to keep the streak going. And obviously we was hoping of maybe of an addition of sorts. Obviously the name on everyone's lips was Eddie Nketiah, looking like he was going to join on loan from Arsenal. We was doing the show last week when the actual news broke, just as we were sort of on air, just as the show ended really, that he was actually now staying at Arsenal. The move was off. How disappointing was this? Not just that he didn't join, but because it's been touted for months, if we're fair, even before he even joined Leeds, wasn't it?
Yep, it certainly was. I think we can blame Ian Wright for this one, because he, for some strange reason, convinced him to join Leeds. So I thought maybe now that he was in the jungle, he wouldn't be able to, you know, convince his adopted son, Eddie, not to join us. But for whatever reason, Mikel Arteta said, you know what, Eddie, why don't you come here? We'll get you a cushion today and get splinters on our bench, and you can come watch some Premier League football for this.
So much salt, Stanley.
Yeah, I know. I had chips for tea, so I should be careful with my high blood pressure. But there you go. That was a shame. That was a shame. I think we need a finisher. Ever since Afobe got injured, we've needed a striker who can sort of run in behind, run the channels. And I think with Jeju alongside him, I think it would really complement the stuff that he's good at. And if not Jeju, he could easily play up front with Andy Vyman, who would do a lot of the pressing and a lot of the running for him, and sort of freeing him up a little bit. So it's a shame, but, you know, I'm sure there's a list of targets and a lot of strikers that they'll be looking at, and it's just whether we can get a decent one in before the end of the transfer window.
Yeah, we know that's the position that maybe just to take him to that next level, you know, to fire on all cylinders. Well, it wasn't to be for Eddie Nketiah, but a name that has been heavily linked this week, and it's been doing all the rounds in the media, Naki Wells. Obviously, Barnley seeming like they may recall him from QPR so that then they can shift him on selling. Bristol City heavily linked with him. Is this? Do you think there's much truth in this? And is this a player that you would want?
Is there much truth? I don't know. I mean, we constantly are seemingly linked with many strikers, and I think that's because we have many strikers on our list. So, I mean, the fact that it's come up in the media probably means that we are looking at him, or we've certainly at least inquired. Do I think it will happen? I don't know. Someone was telling me that he's got a young family, and they're quite happy to live in London. Not that it makes it impossible to move to Bristol City. Would I want it? But maybe. I think that there's a key part to here that maybe you didn't mention, but it's quite important. It's that Josh Brownhill is being heavily linked with Burnley. And in the summer, he's got a £7 million release clause. The local journalist in the southwest has just revealed. So there's sort of there's heavy reasoning for Bristol City maybe to sell Josh Brownhill now for a slightly inflated sum, above £7 million, rather than in the summer. And if Burnley are one of the teams interested, maybe there's a sort of a, you know, potential I scratch your back, you scratch mine with Naki Wells coming this way and Josh Brown going the other way, and whether it's a player and fee for Wales, or whether that's just, you know, let's do them at the same time and be friendly with each other. So maybe that's a bit of a bargaining chip that we've got. But, you know, he's got 14 goals for QPR and he's a good striker. I just worry, though, I don't mind the club's transfer policy of buying young and buying inexperienced players and building them up. Naki Wells is almost 30 now. He's going to be on heavy wages. I don't know. It's a make or break decision, I guess, for the club.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Stanley. I feel like at Bristol City, maybe I'm completely wrong here, in between a rock and a hard place, in a sense that I know fans, you know, I know you're a fan of the policy, buy young and the next generation, but I know fans, we're all fans of all football teams. We're all thirsty for transfer gossip and speculations. We all want signings, and Bristol, yeah, let's make a signing, let's take the plunge, let's try to get to the Premier League. But this is always a really difficult window. They make the signings now, and ultimately it doesn't happen, they don't come up. Then they're left with big wages and big signings, and then it's very hard next year, and then the summer is almost a quieter activity because they went big after Christmas.
Yeah, there's a couple of points here. So the first one about fans being impatient and fans sort of moaning, or I don't know, bemoaning the transfer policy. One of those people who's been bemoaning it, in my opinion, is Lee Johnson. He sent out a bit of a challenge, I think, to the board and the recruitment team, where he was asked, you know, do you have to be ambitious in January? And he basically replied saying, well, it depends what your level of success is, or what level of success you want. Essentially saying to the board, you know, if you want to go up, you're going to have to give me some money to spend. So he's probably a bit fed up of taking all the flack when the recruitment team don't quite bring out, you know, the sort of the Jonathan Codgers, the Tammy Abrahams that maybe we have in previous years. So I think he's a bit fed up. In terms of going for it, I think it's awkward. I think it's really awkward. I think there's only something like 13 or 14 signings so far in the whole championship. So I wouldn't be surprised if we look abroad for value, really. We've done it in the past with Famara Jeju. We've done it in the past with Jonathan Codger. We've done it in the past with Lois Joni, who every single Bristol City fan will happily forget forever with his no goals, no assists over 12 games. So I think we might be sort of preparing ourselves for a late flurry, maybe the last week, maybe the last couple of days, where everyone's just going crazy and picking up the phone and getting whatever they can. And maybe as Bristol City fans, we've just got to be a bit patient.
Yeah, got to be a bit patient. Well, they'll have to be, because there's no game, obviously, on the weekend due to not being in some cup competition. I'm not quite sure which one that is. But the next game is obviously next week. And it is actually Reading next week. And it's an interesting one because Reading are in action now. They're playing Nottingham Forest. Then they have Cardiff on the weekend. So it's two games, obviously, since Bristol would have played. And maybe is it an advantage at all? Because obviously, maybe some tired legs, only an advantage if Bristol City can take it though, Stanley.
Oh yeah, I mean, if we win, everyone will be saying, oh well, thank God that was all down. Thank God we had the advantage of them having two games. And if we lose, I think you and I will be bemoaning the fact we didn't beat Shrewsbury and went into the next round of the Cup. But I don't know. I mean, we've got a massive squad, so I think either way, we should be dealing with it. My big gripe with Lee Johnson is that he doesn't rotate the squad enough, maybe. And maybe he has his favourites. But, you know, we've had a few injuries, and people like Callas and Brownhill, have had small injuries. And Jada Silva's only just come back from fitness. A couple of players maybe were showing a couple of signs of fatigue late on in the Barnsley game. So maybe, you know, maybe they need a break, and maybe this 2 weeks will help us. And I'll be going to the Majeski, despite it being an absolutely turgid atmosphere and terrible away place to go.
No one should go to Reading, Stanley. What are you doing? No one goes to Reading. You know, we get the fixtures there released, and you go, oh, can't wait for this one. Oh, Reading on that day, thank God. I'm going to tee at the aunt's house. No one goes to Reading.
Well, I'll tell you what. So I wasn't that keen, because it was on a Saturday, and I thought, no, I don't want to spend a day in Reading, going there drinking and whatever. Even the spoons, you know, you think spoons are the same everywhere. No, they are genuinely Reading-esque spoons. Not got a nice place to go. But now I got moved to a night game, Charlie. So it's great. I have to spend 3 hours in Reading, and you know, half of that's watching football. It's perfect.
All right. I'll give you a pass on that one, Stanley. Wise, you would have been in my bad books. But what is your score prediction for that night game?
Score prediction. Well, after all the stuff we talked about, the momentum, I'm going to have to go with that. So I'm going to be a ridiculously optimistic City fan and go, let's go 2-0. Another clean sheet, Charlie.
2-0. I love it. Stanley, our time, as always, is too short. I really wish you the best of time on Tuesday, but thank you so much for coming on and having a chat with me. Stanley Hughes there from One Stream in Bristol. Please check them out for all your extra Bristol City content. Well, this is the Bristol City Fan Show. They're on a good run at the minute. Can it continue?
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.